Yeah, so Brahma was like, he didn't want to do any action. So that's a particular stage in the spiritual path when a person learns about dhyanam or nididhyasanam, and then he would want to do just that alone and not any other activity. So there have been like cases with Amma's disciple, the various Swamijis. Like couple of them have left, basically left Amma's ashram and then went to Himalayas in order to do more of meditation and dhyana. And like Yoga Vasishta in the last Nirvana Prakaranam, it speaks about like a couple, a king and his queen, Shikidhwaja and Chudala. So like they, and even in Tripura Rahasyam, in a particular story, like it speaks about this. Like when a person learns about the spiritual path, then he would want to do only that and not any other activity. So it's like it's a kind of virakti from worldly activities. That's just a phase which has to be overcome, because if you are in the world, like as Krishna says in Gita, so nahi kaschit kshanam api jatu tishtat tya karma krit. So a person cannot be without doing actions, so he has to do the, like whether it is spiritual action or any other action, he has to do, and he can't like go into meditation always. Like it's like Nirvikalpa Samadhi, as Ramana says, Nirvikalpa Samadhi is not permanent, it is also a temporary state like deep sleep. You will still have to come back into the world, so you have to, person has to strive for Sahaja Samadhi. But Brahma's case also was the same. He wanted to do more of dhyanam and he wanted restrain from the action of creation. So he created, like with his willpower, he created four Manasaputras. Even before that, he first created one Manasaputra, which was Narada. But like what happened was, Narada became so devoted to Vishnu that Narada like started roaming here and there. That also is said, like it is said in the scriptures, in Puranas, that it is a shapam that Narada has to roam around. Yeah, that we'll come to. But Narada also, like Brahma created Narada, but Narada was not interested in it, because Narada got knowledge and then he understood that knowledge is the final thing. Therefore he didn't like take on the job of creation from Brahma. So Brahma created four Manasaputras. They are called Sanakadi sages. So they are, yeah. What happened? Yes. Yeah, so there were four, like they were four young kids. They are Sanaka sages. So the four are Sanaka, Sanandana, Sanatana, Sanat Kumara. So they are like, there is like a lot of analogy about it. Actually, these stories are quite vast that you can go on. So the basic thing is, these sages are always young. So they are young kids like who roam around without any dress as like a Digambara, and then they Parivrajaka, so they roam from one place to another, they don't stay at a place. But what happened was, when they were born, Brahma, like they were born as kids, and then Brahma instructed them. But at that time, Brahma instructed them to do action. But just at that time, Narada came in, and these four people, they asked Narada, who was the elder brother, as to what is the purpose of life, what should be achieved. Then Narada spoiled their mind by telling that, okay, you should get knowledge. Knowledge is the ultimate. And for that, you should seek a guru who can teach you, and action is not the path. So hearing that, these guys got like the conviction and they didn't do Brahma what Brahma said, and thereby it is said that Brahma cursed Narada that Narada will not have any home and that he'll be roaming around. But like what happened was these four young kids, they started searching for a guru. So out of compassion, Lord Shiva took the form of a young saint, you can call, and he was sitting under the shade of a banyan tree facing south. So basically what happened was these four sages, these four like Sanaka sages, they saw Dakshinamurti sitting there. He was called Dakshinamurti because he was facing the south. Murti means form, Dakshinaha means like south, so one who is facing south. So when they saw this like guy who was in meditation, they thought, okay, this person is shining brightly, therefore he is the right guru. They approached him, sat beneath him and learned from him. So it is said like Dakshinamurti didn't teach anything through word, but he was just silent, and these like Sanaka sages realized the truth through that silence. So it is also said that though these Sanaka sages were always like young, but they were quite old in age, and therefore like the analogy goes that the guru of Dakshinamurti is very young, whereas the disciples are very old. And he taught like knowledge through silence, and these disciples realized the self. Ramana gives a different account that Dakshinamurti initially, when out of compassion, Shiva took the form of Dakshinamurti and then he started teaching them. So like 1 year passed by, they started asking doubts. Dakshinamurti answered it. There were more doubts. It went on for 1 year. And after 1 year, Dakshinamurti found that there was no real progress. There were more and more doubts. Doubts were not getting reduced. Therefore, he went into Samadhi state. And when he went into the Samadhi state, because of his presence, because of like the presence of such a saint, these Sanaka sages also entered into Samadhi, and thereby they realized. So this is a different account that Ramana Maharshi gives about this. Dakshinamurti also has, like Chinmaya gives a beautiful explanation of the word. Dakshinaha means like one who is flowing south or southward. So basically Chinmaya says that the mind is filled with emotions, whereas the intellect is filled with reasoning. And when they both merge together, when emotion as well as reason both merge together, that's what is called as heart or real feeling. And when a seeker who is basically at the intellectual or the mental level, that indicates the head, and he starts towards the heart, towards the self, then he has to move southward. And when he moves southward, he reaches the heart, which is the position of the self. So that is also indicated through Dakshinamurti, that it is that power like which is present southward of the intellect or the mind. So these are few like different examples or explanations of what is Dakshinamurti. And Dakshinamurti is considered the Adi Guru because at that time it's considered that there were no gurus. Brahma has had been taught by Vishnu, but still Dakshinamurti is considered as Adi Guru. And in the guru tradition, it is either traced back to Dakshinamurti or to Vishnu. It's called two lineages. It's one from Vishnu or Narayana, who thought like Narayanam Padmabhuvam. There is a shloka itself, Brahma, and then it came down to Vasishta, Shakti, Parashara, and all those things. Brahma, after Brahma, Shakti, and then Parashara, Vasishta, Shuka, and it goes on. But it's a similar way that from Dakshinamurti, teaching started, and then it came down till Shankara. So Dakshinamurti Ashtakam is in fact a work of Shankara. It is not an Ashtakam by the count of the verses, because it is 10 in number, but like there are 8 verses which speak about the truth, and the ninth one is a kind of sadhana, which Shankara says, and 10th is Phalashruti. So basically it is Ashtakam, but it has 12, 10 shlokas. And there are few shlokas before this, the work, which are considered as dhyana shlokas. There are 5 or 6 shlokas. So the first one is like Mauna Vyakya Prakatita Parabrahma Tattvam Yuvanam. Yeah, continue what you are telling something. It's chanted Maunavyakya Prakatita Parabrahma Tattvam Yuvanam Vasishtante Vasadrishigane Avratam Brahmanishtaihi Acharyendram Karakalita Chinmudram Anandarupam Sridakshinamurtimide. So Maunavyakya Prakatita Parabrahma Tattvam Yuvanam. So Yuvanam, he is a young guy in his youth, and Mauna Vyakya, he speaks, like his Vyakya is Maunam. Vyakya means description or discussion or explanation is Maunam, is through Maunam. That means he teaches through silence. And Prakatita Parabrahma Tattvam. So Prakatita means that which is like manifested or manifestation of Parabrahma Tattvam, manifestation of ultimate reality. So he is a manifestation of not Lord Shiva as such, but manifestation of like Nirguna Parabrahman itself. So Vashishta Ante Vasad Rishiganaihi Avratam Brahmanishtaihi. So like the various rishis, like here rishis, it means that not just the Seneca sages, but all sages who want to learn, they seek him. So and Avratam means like who is established, Brahmanishtaihi, who is ever established in bliss, and who is sought by various sages and saints who go to him. So Acharyendram, so he is an Acharya. There is a shloka as well for Acharyam, the definition of Acharyam. I think we will not deviate a lot, but Acharya is one who teaches or one who instructs or guides. So Acharyendram, so he is not Acharya, but Acharya Indram. Indra is a word like for king of, like it's an adjective you can say. So Acharyendram, he is the king of all Acharyas. That means it's also another way of telling that he is the Adi Guru. And Karakalita Chinmudram. So in his hand he has the Chinmudra. ఆనంద రూపం, హీస్ ఆఫ్ ద నేచర్ ఆఫ్ బ్లెస్. దట్ మీన్స్ లైక్ సిన్స్ హీస్ ఆఫ్ ద నేచర్ ఆఫ్ బ్లెస్ మీన్స్ వెన్ అ పర్సన్ సీక్స్ హిమ్ దెన్ ఇట్ సెల్ఫ్ హీ కెన్ ఎక్స్పీరియన్స్ ఆర్ ఫీల్ ద బ్లెస్. స్వాత్మారామం, సో స్వాత్మారామం దిస్ ఈస్ లైక్ అనదర్ ద ముండక ఉపనిషత్ గివ్స్ అండ్ గివ్స్ కపుల్ ఆఫ్ క్వాలిటీస్ ఫర్ ఎ పర్సన్ హూ ఈస్ ఎ జ్ఞాని. సో ఇట్స్ ఈస్ ఆత్మక్రీడ ఆత్మరతి. లైక్ ఎ జ్ఞాని విల్ ఆల్వేస్ లైక్ ప్లే ఇన్ ద సెల్ఫ్ అండ్ బీ కంటెంట్ ఆర్ విత్ ద సెల్ఫ్. సో ఆత్మరతి మీన్స్ లైక్ హీ ఈస్ ఆల్వేస్ బ్లిస్ఫుల్ ఆర్ ప్లేయింగ్ ఆర్ ఇమ్మర్స్డ్ ఇన్ ద సెల్ఫ్. సో స్వాత్మారామం, సో ఎ పర్సన్ హూ ఈస్ ఎవర్ ఇమ్మర్స్డ్ ఇన్ ద సెల్ఫ్. ముదిత వదనం, శ్రీ దక్షిణామూర్తి మీడే. సో లైక్ ఎ పర్సన్ హూస్ ఇన్ ఫ్యాక్ట్ లైక్ I'm not that good at Sanskrit, but mudita means like one who is like happy or ever kind of like face is smiling, cheerful. So vadanam should mean the face. So a person whose face is smiling. And the Sri Dakshinamurti made it. So I offer my prostrations to such a Dakshinamurti. So this is one of the first like dhyana shloka, though the other shlokas are of similar meaning, but this just means that Dakshinamurti is a person who is a young and he is sought by other saints and he is like ever immersed in the self, blissful, and his hands have chin mudra. Chin mudra is also interpreted in different ways as when the tip of the forefinger and the thumb meet together as an O and then the rest three fingers are kept straight, that is called chin mudra. Though it's also said that at times like forefinger should touch the first phalange of the thumb, it can mean both. So the three stretched fingers denote the three sharira, the stula sushma and karana sharira, and the forefinger denotes the jiva who is associated with the three shariras. And when the jiva does sadhana and then he merges with parabrahman or paramatman, which is denoted by the thumb, then like what really happens is like realization or bliss or perfection, which is denoted by the O, or like you can say zero as well, but it is an O. So like chin mudra denotes, it's a symbolism of like jiva and paramatma ikyam, which in turn will lead us to bliss, and which is possible only through control of the three shariras shown by the stretched fingers. So Dakshinamurti is a person whose hands have chin mudra, whose face is smiling, who is ananda rupam, who is immersed in the self, and who teaches through mauna. Yeah, the next shloka is like vatavitapi samipe bhumi bhage nishannam సకల మునిజనానాం జ్ఞానదాతారమారాత్ త్రిభువన గురుమీశం శ్రీ దక్షిణామూర్తిమీశం జనన మరణ దుఃఖ ఛేద దక్షం నమామి. యా, సో హియర్ లైక్ ఇట్ మేడ్ దిస్ a little bit clearer and little bit shows us as to what Dakshinamurti will lead us to. So vata vitapi samipe, vata vriksham means like is the banyan tree. So it is also considered as papal tree by some, but it is basically the banyan tree, which is again an indication of the world or the jagat as per the 15th chapter. So vata vitapi samipe, person who is near or sitting under the shades of the banyan tree. So bhumi bhage nishannam, nishannam means who is sitting under the shade of such a banyan tree, near the banyan tree, under its shade, on the floor, on the ground. Sakala muni jananam jnana dhatara marat. So he is a person who gives jnanam, who gives knowledge or imparts knowledge to all muni. Sakala muni jananam. Again, muni is a word, like we can say muni is generally a saint, but as per Shankara and as per Sanskrit word, mananat muni, a person who does mananam. Who does mananam means who does reflection, as well as who has, which in turn means that who has control over his mind, he is a muni. Control of the mind or getting good reflection in the mind is just a means to realization. That doesn't really mean a person is realized just because he does a lot of mananam or just because his mind is under control. So all such munis who have controlled their mind for liberation, seeking liberation, they are imparted knowledge by Dakshinamurti alone. Tribhuvana Gurum Isham. So he is the Isham. Isham means he is the Lord controller. He is the Lord as well as he is the Lord who is the Guru for the entire three worlds. Tribhuvana Gurum. So he is the Guru for not only sages like Sanaka, but he is the Guru for the entire world. That means all the three worlds of Bhuvaha and Suvaha. So such a Dakshinamurti, Sri Dakshinamurti Isham. So such a Lord who is the Guru of the three worlds. Janana Marana Dukkha Cheda Daksham Namami. So Namami, I prostrate, so that, and such a Lord, I prostrate, such a Dakshinamurti who chedam, who destroys, who removes janana marana dukkham. So who removes the sorrow of birth and death. And this, the sorrow of birth and death is removed by imparting knowledge. Because knowledge alone can remove the sorrow of birth and death. So this, the first shloka was just about Dakshinamurti and his traits, whereas this shloka speaks a little specific about where he is sitting, why he is sitting, and what would we get by prostrating to him. So a person who prostrates to Dakshinamurti would get knowledge, would be imparted knowledge, which in turn will help him to remove the sorrow caused by birth and death, or the cycle of birth and death. So then next shloka has two readings, in fact, two different readings, but the common reading is Chitram Vadataror Mule Vriddha Shishya Gurur Yuva Gurostu Mauna Vyakhyanam Shishyastu Chinna Samshayaha. So this, like in short, speaks about how he teaches. The previous shloka was about that he imparts knowledge, and that knowledge removes the sorrow of caused by birth and death cycle. This shloka in turn speaks about how he teaches. So Chitram Vadataror Mule, it's also in some places Vrittam Vadataror Mule is also so interpreted. Balakrishnanayar takes that interpretation, but I guess like Chinmaya and generally people interpret Chitram. So Chitram means amazing. So it is like amazing or astounding, like what's astounding or what's amazing, what are the roar mole under the shade of the banyan tree, Vriddha Shishyaha, Guru Yuva. The Shishyas are old, Guru is Yuva. So Yuvatvam, again, this is, though Sanaka sages are always considered as young, but here what it means is the various youth, the concept of Yuvam is like when a person has overcome the cycle of birth and death. The process of aging doesn't affect a person who has realized the self, because then he is eternal, which in turn means that he is ever in youth. In youth means he is ever like blissful. So youth like is an indication when a person has maximum energy, maximum enthusiasm, and all those are there when a person realizes the self and he doesn't age. So the guru here is not at all aging because he is the self, and the Shishya, the various disciples, they are like old, or which in turn means like it should be the opposite, that by experience a person gains knowledge. So the guru should be very old and the Shishya should be very young. That is how it generally happens. In most of the cases, if you take Paramatma's disciples or Chinmaya's disciples and all, there'll never be a case where you can find the guru as a person younger than the Shishya. Though Shankara's case was different, but we can't find it in these days. But this is very strange because the guru is ever young, whereas the Shishyas are old saints who have been doing sadhana for or tapas for years and ages itself. And this is not the only amazing fact. Guru Ostu Mauna Vyakhyanam. The Guru teaches through Maunam. The Guru teaches through silence. That means the Guru doesn't teach at all. Teaching in the literal meaning, he doesn't teach at all. He doesn't speak a single word because he teaches through silence. And so that is another amazing fact. And yet another amazing fact is, when the guru teaches through silence, shishyaha tu chinna samshayaha. Like for the shishyas, for the various disciples, chinna samshayaha, all their doubts vanish. So the guru like teaches through silence and all the doubts of the shishyas vanish. So that means shishyas don't have any doubts at all. As per the scriptures, like a person gets rid of doubts only when he realizes the Atman as the Paramatman. Vidyate hrudaye granthi chidyante sarva samshayaha shriyante chasya karmani tasmin drishte paravare. This is a famous verse in the Kathopanishad as well as the Mundakopanishad. Vidyate hrudaye granthi, the knots of the heart are broken. The knots indicate like the three granthis of Brahma granthi, Vishnu granthi and Rudra granthi, that which comes in the Lalita Sahasranama. Brahma granthi indicates like Brahma granthi indicates karma, and then hrudaya granthi, Vishnu granthi indicates kama or desires, and Rudra granthi indicates avidya or ignorance. So all these three knots are broken. Chidyante sarva samshayaha, all doubts are dispelled. Shiyante chasya karmani, the actions or actions as well as the fruits of actions become reduced, diminished. Tasmin drishte paravare. Drishte, a person who sees tasmin, in the self, in the Paramatman, paravare, a person who sees the near and the far self. The near self is the Jivatman, and the far self is Parabrahman or Paramatman, a person who sees both, as one. For him, like, the knots of the heart are removed, doubts are dispelled, and actions are diminished. So, like, here it says that Dakshinamurti teaches through silence and all doubts are dispelled. That means he imparts the knowledge of the self, which means that he doesn't impart just theoretical knowledge of Paroksha Jnanam, but that becomes Aparoksham or as a matter of experience for the Shishyas. So it is quite amazing that the Guru sits under the shade of a banyan tree, and the Guru is young whereas disciples are old. The Guru teaches through silence and the doubts of the disciples are dispelled. So it is quite amazing about Dakshinamurti. Yeah, the next shloka is Nidaye Sarva Vidyanam Bishaje Bhavaroginam Gurave Sarva Lokanam Sri Dakshinamurtaye Namaha. So Nidaye Sarva Vidyanam, like, he is the Nidhi, he is the treasure of Sarva Vidyanam, of all knowledge. That means it's another, yet another, like, symbolic way of telling it, because then we shouldn't question that, okay, will Dakshinamurti know computer or will he know all those things, all things which are not there, which are already there and which are not there as well. So, you know, it is just a symbolic way of telling the scriptural truth that a person who knows the self, he knows everything. So, like, in Mundaka Upanishad starts by Uddalaka asking, like, Shaunaka, sages Shaunaka, that Kasminnu Bhagavo Vijnate Sarvamidam Vijnatam Bhavati. O Lord, tell me that by knowing which I will know everything. So even in Gita, in few chapters, for example, in the 7th chapter, Krishna says that, like, Yajnatva Neha Bhuyo Anyajnatavyam Avashishyate. Yajnatva, like, after knowing, I'll teach you, like, he says that, like, I'll teach you Jnanam Teham Savijnanamidam Vakshyami Asheshataha. I'll teach you, like, Asheshataha, without, like, fully or, like, completely, Jnanam or theoretical knowledge, Paroksha Jnanam, and Vijnanam, experience, or Paroksha Jnanam as well, knowing which Yajnatva Na Iho Bhuyo Bhuyaha more Anyajnatavyam. Bhuyaha means again more Anyajnatavyam Avashishyati. There will remain nothing else to be known once you know this. So it is that what that is being indicated over here, that when a person, like, gets to know the self, when a person knows the self or the Atman, then he knows everything. Like, it is the same when Uddalaka asked the same question, Shaunaka in Mundaka Upanishad, he started explaining slowly, and then finally he said that Sayo Havaitat Paramam Brahma Veda Brahmaiva Bhavati. Like, that Paramam Brahma, that ultimate Brahman, when a person knows Brahma with Brahmaiva Bhavati, he becomes Brahman alone. So what is the purpose of that? Tarati Shokam Tarati Papmanam. A person crosses over sorrow and crosses over sense. So that here, like, Nidaye Sarva Vidyanam, a person who is the Nidhi of all knowledge, means we can take it in two ways, that, like, a person who seeks Dakshinamurti will get all knowledge, whether it is worldly knowledge or spiritual knowledge, it will come to him somehow. And also that, like, he is the Nidhi of all knowledge because he is the Nidhi of Atmajnanam. When Atmajnanam is attained, then everything else is known. Everything else is known here doesn't mean that things will be known at the empirical plane, but it just means contentment or end of desire for more knowledge. So, like, we can say that a person is learned a person is like knows everything when there is nothing else to be known. Nothing else to be known means when there is lack of desire to know. Like there will never be any more desire to know anything. So Nidhaye Sarva Vidyanam, he is the Nidhi of all knowledge because he is the Nidhi of Atmajnanam. Bishaje Bhava Roginam. So he is the Bishaj. Bishaj means like you have to say medicine or medicinal herb. You can say ideally Bishaj has like couple of meanings. One is medicine or trees or like kind of vegetable or trees as well are called as Bishaj. But here it means Bhava Roginam, for people, for diseased people. And this is not normal disease. Bhava Rogam. Bhava Rogam means, Bhava means like generally means samsaram. So people who are like bound by samsaram, who are affected by the disease of samsaram. That means who are immersed in the ocean of samsaram, which means people who are suffering in the ocean of samsaram. So for such diseased people who are suffering from samsaram, he is the Bishaj. He is the medicine. He is the medicine which can which can cure a person of the samsaram, samsara rogam or bhava rogam. Gurave sarva lokanam, he is the guru of the entire world. Again, each person might have his own guru, but here like the real guru is not in physical form, but the real guru is the Atman or the self. Like Ramana Maharshi, when people used to ask him about guru and God or Ishvara or Brahman and guru, what is the relation, then he used to tell them, when the seeker, a seeker who is of the nature of self, he ardently like seeks the self, he really has the strong desire to know the self, then the self or Brahman manifest itself in the form of a guru. Because teaching, since the disciple is at the empirical plane, he finds himself with a body and suffering, therefore knowledge also has to come through the empirical mean. Therefore the self or Brahman takes the form of a guru. So that is how like guru. So Dakshinamurti is the guru of like the entire world because he is the self, Swatma Ramam. So he is a person who is immersed in the self, therefore like he is a person who is the Atman or Brahman, and that is the guru for entire world. Therefore he is the guru for entire world. Say Dakshinamurti Namaha. I offer my prostration to such a Dakshinamurti. Yeah, the next shloka is Om Namah Pranavartaya शुद्ध ज्ञानैकमूर्तये निर्मलाय प्रशांताय श्री दक्षिणामूर्तये नमः. So the previous few shlokas were speaking about Dakshinamurti and his importance in the world and importance for the seeker, his nature and all. So here it speaks about the direct nature or the essence of Dakshinamurti, what a person, what an individual he is. So Om Namah Pranavartaya. So a person who is like, we can, I don't know how to exactly interpret, but a person who is Pranava Arthaya. So a person who has the meaning of Pranavam. So who symbolizes the meaning of Pranava, which is Om Namah, which is Om, the Omkaram, a person who is like of the meaning of Pranavam, to such a person. So Om Namah Pranavartaya. So that Pranavartaya means for such a person, for such a Dakshinamurti, who is like the essence of Pranavam or the essence of Omkara Mantram. So it's like Om iti etat aksharam brahma, that is Mandukya Upanishad says, and Even like Gita as well says about the same that Om is the symbol, Pratikam for Brahman. So Pratika Dhyanam is another form of meditation in which, like, rather than taking a particular form, particular rupam, a person takes a particular symbol which stands for an entity. And in the scriptures, Brahman or Nirguna Brahman stands is like symbolized through the word Omkaram. Omkaram in fact symbolizes Brahman. So is if there is any pratikam that can be substituted for Brahman, then that is Om. So such pranavartam. So pranava again like has different meaning there. Like pranava mantram, pranavaha means like can be interpreted one as something which sustains prana, or which is the like essence of prana, which makes prana sustainment, which means that which is this, which is the truth that sustains life in itself. Or it's also said that like it is a form of prostration to Paramatma. Like the pranavam is like a means to prostrate the Paramatman. But anyway, like it is like Om symbolizes Brahman, and such a person who is the essence of Om means who is Brahman to such a person. And Shuddha Jnana Ekamurtaye. So Shuddha, like Shuddha Jnanam means pure knowledge. So Jnanam can be, in fact, the Nyaya system as well as many other, like even Vedanta also accepts different types of knowledge. Like once a person gains knowledge, if you have read Moksha Siddhi, you will know a few of those. Like there is like Samshay Jnanam and Viparya Jnanam. So once a person gains knowledge, then he will get doubt or contrary knowledge, Samshay Jnanam or Viparya Jnanam. Paramatha gives a beautiful example of Samshay Jnanam. Like you come out of the house, lock the door, you walk a little bit, and then you are in doubt whether you really close the door or not. That is kind of samshayam. So it is a samshay jnanam, and viparya jnanam is you know that this is not real, but still you experience it. You know that the world is unreal, but still you experience the world and see the world as real. So since there can be different knowledge forms, different types of knowledge as well, Paroksha jnanam is yet another kind of categorization. Here Shuddha Jnanam means a person whose very nature is knowledge. So here Shuddha Jnanam doesn't mean knowledge in the literal sense, but it means chit or consciousness. That means who is chit in nature, by nature. Shuddha Jnana Ekamurtaye. He is of the one form of Shuddha Jnanam. So he doesn't have any other form. He has only one form, and Shuddha Jnana alone is his form. Which in turn means that it also is a way of telling that Brahman is Akhandam. Akhandam means like indivisible or which cannot be divided into parts. Though Brahman, like he is mentioned as Sachidanandam, Sat, Chit, Anandam, all three are like together. So it really denotes Akhandam. One cannot be without the other. So here Shuddha Jnana Ekamurti means like a its Dakshinamurti is Brahman of the nature of Akhanda Bodham or Akhanda Chit, which in turn means Akhanda Sat, which means Akhanda Anandam, which again means Akhanda Sachidanandam as well. And Nirmalaya Prashantaya. So two other qualities of Dakshinamurti is mentioned. Nirmalaya. Malam means like, in general, in Sanskrit, malam means like dirt. Nirmalam means one who is without any dirt, means one who is pure. This can be interpreted in the simplest term that Brahman is pure, always pure, because it is untainted by or untouched by anything. And then another logical explanation is that taint or impurity is when, if you have an entity, if you have a substance A, and A is said to be impure when another substance, which is not A gets merged with A. In short, like B, which is different from A, gets associated or attached to A. That is when we say that A is impure. For example, a cloth becomes impure or dirty when something which is not part of the material of the cloth gets attached to it. But Brahman is like, first thing is Brahman is partless. Anything that is without parts cannot have association. Association or samyogam, like association is possible only when the entity has parts. If we take, for example, any entity in the world, if I have to touch the keyboard, it is possible only because my body has parts and the keyboard has parts. It is for this reason that, like, Akasham is partless, therefore we can't touch Akasham. We are in Akasham, but we can't touch Akasham because Akasham is partless. And Brahman is partless for many reasons. One is because it is without any beginning. So anything that has a beginning has an end. And anything that has a beginning is subject to change. And change is possible only when an entity has parts. So that is one way of telling, since Brahman is beginningless, therefore Brahman is partless. And since Brahman is eternal, therefore as well Brahman is partless. And since Brahman is partless, Brahman is all pervasive, therefore also he is partless. But since Brahman is partless, therefore Brahman cannot have association with anything at all. Since association with anything is not possible, therefore Brahman cannot have any impurity, which in turn means that Brahman is always pure, or Shuddham, or Nirmala. So Dakshinamurti, who is of the nature of Brahman, who is Brahman itself, is therefore Nirmalam. And Prashantam. Shantam means like calm, peaceful. Prashantam means Prakarshena Shantam. Prakarsham means like in a great or better way. We can say Prakarsham means like the peak of something. So it is a way of telling. So Prakarshena Shantam means like one who is at the peak of calmness. Again, Shanti doesn't mean external Shanti alone, but Shantam means the mental mind is always peaceful. The mind can be peaceful only when like it is devoid of disturbances, it is devoid of thoughts, and that is possible only when it is immersed in the self. A mind like Shankara terms such a mind which is as an ocean without waves. So like Dakshinamurti is Prashantam, is a Prashantamurti because he is ever immersed in the self, and therefore there is no disturbance which can touch or affect him. And to such a Dakshinamurti, my prostration. Basically, we are coming to the final shloka. The final shloka is quite popular one. ईश्वरो गुरुरात्मेति मूर्तिभेदविभागिने व्योमवद्व्याप्तदेहाय दक्षिणामूर्तये नमः. सो ईश्वरो गुरुरात्मेति, ईश्वरः गुरु आत्मा इति मूर्तिभेदविभागिने, इति दस लाइक मूर्तिभेदविभागिने, ए पर्सन हू इज split, vibhagam, differentiated or categorized or classified into murti bhedam, three different forms as Ishvara, Guru and Atma. So it is Dakshinamurti or one self which in itself becomes the three entities of Ishvara, Guru and Atman. That's where Ramana says that when a seeker seeks ardently seeks the self, then the self in itself, which is Lord, which is one with God or Ishvara, takes the form of Guru. So the Atman Ishvara and Guru all are same. So this is again like this might seem a bit controversial because once a person realizes, will the Guru be there? So there have been many shlokas like Advaita Makaranda. At the end it says that like when a person realizes, then the differentiation between Guru Shishya also vanishes. So Guru Shishya has prasakti only as long as ignorance is there. So once ignorance vanishes, then like there is no scope for even the Ishvara and or not Ishvara, the Atman and Guru, differentiation between Atman and Guru. So it's the shloka Advaita Makaranda says is Upashanta Jagat Jiva Shishya Acharya Ishvara Brahmam. So like Upashantam, when something subdues what? Jagat Jiva, the difference between Jagat and the Jiva, as well as Shishya Acharya Ishvara Brahmam, the Brahma of Ishvara, Shishya Acharya and all those Brahmam. Even in Dakshinamurti Ashtakam, like at the end, if I am right, Vishvam Pashyati Karya Karnataya Shishya Acharya Taya Tataiva Pitraputra Dhyatmana Bedataha. So like Swapne Jagrativa Yayesha Purusho Maya Paribhramitaha Tasmai Shri Guru Murte Namaidam Sri Dakshinamurte. Like the various Bedam of like Vishwam, in the Vishwam Pashyati, the world sees different Vedas of Karya Karanataya, Karyam Karanam, Shishya Acharya Taya, Shishya Acharya, Pitra Putra Adi Atmana Bedataha. The Bedam of Atman, one Atman as Karya Karanam, Shishya Acharya, Putra Pita Putra, etc. Like is seen and it is the same person, Swapne Jagrativa Yayesha Purusho Maya Paribhramita. It is the same person who gets deluded by Maya in the Swapnavastha and Jagratavastha. So it is like, it's beyond doubt that the prasakti of Ishvara and the Guru and Shishya, or Guru and Ishvara as well, Guru, Ishvara and one's own self is there only at the empirical plane. Ultimately, everything is the self. But this again doesn't mean that there will always be at the empirical plane, whenever a person speaks or whenever a person is like acting or speaking at the empirical level, speech itself is empirical level, he has to, like he cannot overcome the Guru or the Guru Bhakti, because that is something which cannot be overcome at all, because it is a relationship. It is the most purest of relationship, because there cannot be any gratitude expressed by the Shishya for the Guru, because the Guru gives himself, the Guru imparts parts of himself to the Shishya. So that cannot really be forgotten, but that doesn't mean ultimately the difference still exists. So it means ultimately there is no such difference. Empirically it has to be accepted. So it is like a way of telling that empirically or in dream there are many things, but after waking up there is nothing. It's a similar way of telling. But ultimately it is one entity. It is the same Dakshinamurti who is differentiated into the three forms of Ishvara, Guru and one's own Atman. And Vyomavat Vyapta Dehaya, his body is like Vyaptam. Vyaptam, Vyapti means like pervasive. It's like pervasive like the Akasham. Vyomavat Vyapta Deham. Like Akasham is present everywhere. Any place, even science accepts it slowly, any place that you take, it has Akasham in it. It cannot be without Akasham. So Dakshinamurti is a person who has a body which is Vyaptam like Akasham, because it's quite simple, because Taittiriya Upanishad says that Atmanah Akasham Akashah Sambhuta. Like from the Atman came Akasham. So if Akasham is all pervasive, its cause of Atman or Brahman has to be also be all pervasive. The karyam, so the karanam or the cause pervades the karyam. The cause of mud pervades the effect of pot. So like, since if Akasham itself is pervasive, then the cause of Akasham, which is Brahman, also has to be all pervasive. So this means Sarvavyapitvam, or so like Brahman is mentioned here. Dakshinamurti as Brahman is all pervasive. For such a person who has a body which is all pervasive like space. Sri Dakshinamurte Namah. My prostration. This analogy or comparison with Akasham is done for many things. Like as I said previously, Akasham is pure. Similarly, the self is pure. Akasham is without any association. Self is without any association. Akasham is all pervasive. Self is all pervasive. Akasham cannot really be limited, but seems to be limited in like Ghata Akasham and Mata Akasham. Similarly, the self is never really limited, but it seems to be limited by the adjuncts of body, mind, and other things. So it's like, since Akasham has come directly from the self, so this kind of analogy is made, and there is only one entity which can really be compared with the self or Brahman, which is Akasham. So that's again another reason why it is said here that Dakshinamurti has a all-pervasive body like that of an Akasham. Yeah, I think that ends it.